You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We made it. We made it. We made it. The end of the week is here. We're almost to the weekend, and welcome into another edition of Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Jason Ross. Thank you for being with us all week long, and hopefully each and every week all year, Monday through Friday here on the Locked On Network, specifically on Locked On Kings. Today on the podcast, we get to the Friday mailbag, and it is stuffed, jam-packed with questions. So we're going to get a lot of questions in this week. There's some I just didn't even get to because I wanted to make sure we can get enough time on the questions that were sent in, so we'll do that today. And we got to share some Kings news with you as well, including their performance on Thursday night in the Summer League tournament, now that they're in round two after beating Milwaukee, their first Summer League win. Then they took on Dallas, so an update there. And some tough news to start with, and that's where we'll begin. The Kings are losing a good one. Scott Perry was not in Sacramento very long. A little over 60 days ago, Scott Perry was let go in Orlando, kind of a changeover in the front office. And it didn't take long, just about a week or two, I believe it was, and the Kings pounced and nabbed Scott Perry to be the executive vice president of kind of basketball operations in Sacramento. And by all accounts, everything you've heard on this podcast, everything I've talked about, everybody we've had as guests, they have raved about what he has meant to this team, his relationships around the league, the character that he has, the quality of person, and then just the actual moves. I mean, the Kings on draft night, everybody seems to be happy with what they have done so far, and free agency. And it's not only Scott Perry, but a big part of it. And again, we were talking about the national narrative about the Kings and the feel good of how things are going right now, and a lot of people giving him credit for that, just kind of changing the internal feel of the Sacramento Kings front office. So with all that said, it looks like he is going to be going to the New York Knicks. He has called it, quote, his dream job. Good for the Kings to allow him to interview. You don't always have to let that process happen. Kings are looking for some compensation in return, but you can't keep a guy from wanting to look and to be a little bit higher up of a job than he has here. I don't blame the Kings. I'll also frustrated, though, for Kings fans and myself that wants this team to win. Just anytime you lose a good person. And Scott Perry was good at his job, a likable person, had great relationships. All the free agents, that press conference we played earlier in the week, quoted and talked about him, too. So this will be a miss for the Sacramento Kings, someone they will miss. And I wish him nothing but the best. And the New York Knicks have a long way to go, much like the Kings. But this all kind of started from Phil Jackson's departure, leaving an opening, and Scott Perry had been rumored in other spots too. So the Kings had a good one in the front office, and now it looks like he's going to be on his way to the New York Knicks. And so now it's about regrouping and how you take what you learned from him and see if you can replace him or add on to the front office, and Vlade and Peja and Mike Brotz and everyone else that's in that front office, Ken Catanella, figuring out the next move. But I'm glad the biggest decisions that had to be made for the season were already made with Scott Perry here. That was the draft, and that certainly was free agency. So good for him. Congratulations to him, but a little bit of bummer news to start things out here on Locked On Kings. Also bummer news, I guess. Again, we always say don't get caught up too much in the overall score of Summer League. But once you're competing and once you're in the tournament, hey, why not go try to win the thing? Well, the Kings lost on Thursday. Good game against Dallas. Good comeback for Sacramento after getting off to a good start, then trailing, then kind of get back into the game, a two-possession game late. They end up losing 83-76 to the Mavericks as a Dallas now 4-0 in Summer League play. Dennis Smith Jr. continues to be one of the guys that's shining a lot, shining bright in Vegas, and he scored 25 points, but just looks good and smooth and aggressive and a promising rookie, to say the least. Another promising rookie, Justin Jackson, had another good game for the Sacramento Kings. Pitched in 25 points as well in a losing effort and didn't get to the line a ton and didn't hit a bunch of threes. So he was scoring in the mid-range game and other two-pointers and floaters. And he's showing a wide variety of scoring touch. And so he led the Kings with 25. The up-and-down nature of Summer League continues for Scalabissiere, just 4 points coming off of his best game. Papagiannis was coming off of his best game, and he had 6 points and 8 rebounds. And then De'Aaron Fox, 0 points, only played 7 minutes, and just another little slight tweak of that ankle. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's just more of a shutdown mode for him. They've already done that for Buddy Hield. And so now it's just kind of the one more summer league game and then get everybody working out and healthy as they can for the start of training camp, which will be in September for the Kings. So interesting to see how summer league has gone so far, see who's been shining bright and see who's been struggling a little bit, but a little bit of a grab bag, a mixed bag, I should say, for the Kings in summer league play. All right, we're going to get to our mailbag here in just a second. And we want to remind you that how you get in on the mailbag, it's pretty simple. jason.ross@cbsradio.com. Send me the questions. You can send them earlier in the week, over the weekend, but we'll get to the mailbag on Fridays or on Twitter at jasonross1140. So let's do it. Like I said, there were a lot of questions this week, and we're going to spend some time and quality time here on the mailbag. First one comes in from, or first one we're going to use, because I didn't even get to everything this week, but I think I got, let's see, I took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, and we had more than that, but this is the most amount of consistent feedback we've received in the Friday mailbag. So thank you for that as our numbers continue to grow each week. This one is Jonathan on email said, I have been a fan of the Kings for a long time, but I find myself as excited about this team as I can remember. But I keep hearing people, yourself included, that don't think they will win a lot of games. I personally think they will be a very good team and might even make it into the playoffs with around 45 wins. Do you think I'm crazy and am I only looking at this through my Kings glasses, or could this happen as soon as this upcoming season? Jonathan, thank you for the email. Well, I'm not going to call you crazy. I don't think they're going to win 45 games, and I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, but I love that you do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm really looking at more of the landscape of the West and just the young nature of the team. Let's take Summer League, for example. It's not completely fair to assess this, but look at the guys we were just talking about. Scalabissiere, out of 5 Summer League games so far, I think has been good in 2. Maybe 3. Papagiannis, who won't be a heavy minute rotation guy, I would say had 1 out of 5 good games. De'Aaron Fox has been pretty good all the way through. Justin Jackson has had some shining moments, but you know, up and down, Mason and Hield, and that's what happens when you've got a young team. And then just where's the overall star power? I don't think they've made it to that point yet. So I think it's the totality of having a young roster with a mix of quality veterans, but just not high enough level talent to separate from player 1 to about 12. I think they're very similar skilled players. What's Bogdanovich going to be? What's Buddy going to do in a full season in Sacramento? Is Willie ready to make a jump? Which veteran will not have a little bit of a decline in play? I think there's just too many question marks to make me think they can win 45 games and make the playoffs. But Jonathan, I would tell you never. I would never say you're crazy, and I would never tell you to not think that can happen. So think positively, enjoy it, be excited about this team. I am. I still feel excited, though I don't know that we're going to see a bunch of incredible results. But I think you can. I think both of those can be a thing. I think we can live in that world where the Kings may not win as many games as we'd like them to, but we could be excited about what we're watching. That's something that I have as a goal. So Jonathan, thank you. Gregory says, I am so disappointed in Papagiannis. I can't say that I had that high of expectations for him, but at the end of last year, he was actually playing pretty well. Is it too early to call him a bust, and do you think the Kings should trade him? Gregory, again, thank you for the email. Yes, it is too early to call him a bust, but it almost depends on what you're looking at. Now, what makes this difficult is the Kings drafted him with their highest draft choice a season ago, right? When they moved back from 8, Marquise Chris, to 13 to get Papagiannis, and they still turned that also into Bogdanovich and Scalabissiere. So the totality of the trade is fine. But Papagiannis was the first one selected. And as we've talked about on this podcast, Papagiannis last year in Summer League and in preseason was not very impressive. Didn't do much in Reno. But when he came to Sacramento, the final 25 games of the year really started to show a little promise. And we just talked about his play in Summer League, where on Thursday night, 6 points, 8 boards, but more sloppy play. And I think we also saw, on Wednesday, a strong double-double. So I'm not going to call him a bust, but I don't think he's tracking a rotation player as of now. And I'm just a rotation player. We're not talking all-star. We're not talking cusp of an all-star. I would love it if he just made it into the rotation and you feel comfortable playing him. But that's not the case yet. I won't call him a bust, but he's if there was a scale on is he tipping more towards a bust or a rotation player, he's tipping more towards the bust. But again, you got to give him time. He's really young, really, really young. So I'm going to give him more time, but we need to start seeing a little bit of improvement, that's for sure. So Gregory, thank you for the email. This is my favorite one I may have ever received, and I'm going to read it anyway because I love it, and it was so nice, and I've already sent correspondence back and forth, another return email, because it was just so cool, and I want to meet this person. His name is Big John. Big John says, and there's a lot more here, but this is the part I wanted to read because it made me feel good. So who doesn't like compliments and to feel good? Big John says, I have to say that I've always been a big fan of yours and have enjoyed listening to you all the way back to the Sports Dudes and your Friday Night Football show. Now that, you're either old John or you a stalker. No, thank you. You have been listening for a long, long time. The Sports Dudes, oh my goodness, way back on the weekends in the 90s, early to mid-90s. And the Friday Night Football show, probably late 90s. So a long, long time you have been listening on the radio station. I've watched you from afar and seen you grow. I go to all the Sacramento State Hornet football games and have listened to you do play-by-play for Hornets for years and think you do a great job. I was happy to hear you get the chance to do some games for the Kings when the G-Man was out. I am sure you are waiting to get the call to be doing all the NBA games, but until then, I do appreciate you sharing your guests and Kings knowledge on this daily podcast. I was a little late to the game, but now I never miss... Excuse me, got me all choked up. But now I never miss a day. All this to say, who have been some of your favorite broadcasters to listen to all time and right now? Thanks, Jason, and I really thank you for all your years of work in the Sacramento area. Well, Big John, as you know, I've already sent emails back to you, but I'll say it here on the podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Very nice email from you. And all time, well, growing up in Southern California, it's hard not to acknowledge Chick Hearn and Vin Scully. I know so many people reference them, but that's who I grew up listening to. So those two helped me. Well, I always loved sports. My family was into sports. I wanted to be a baseball player, professional baseball player. Then I started to love basketball and really put all my effort and energy into playing as much basketball as I could and tried to do both of those in college. And no, didn't work for me. But the point is, I've always loved sports, and so Vin Scully, Chick Hearn helped me love it even more. I remember liking Al Michaels as a kid, and still now I'm a huge fan of his. Some of the people right now, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate to have worked with, and I'm honestly not, I mean, not just saying this, but the G-Man, Gary Gerald, is as good as anybody you'll ever find, and to sit next to him every day, to watch him work on his craft and get better and describe his descriptions, especially of huge moments, emotional fan moments. I know there's not anybody better. Just he's so good at capturing that, and his day-to-day play-by-play description is just top shelf. Whether it's Grant or Coase or Wheels or Tim Roy, having worked closely with all those guys, it's been, I mean, they're friends and mentors and people that I have admired how they work. I like Wheels a lot. I think he does a great job in Portland. National guys, I think Ian Eagle is one of my favorite. Love his style. Kevin Harlan, Ernie Johnson. I know he's not as much play-by-play, but I like his studio work. I don't know. I think just there's certain people you gravitate to that you like. And then there's different styles. Like Gus Johnson, I think is fun. I like Mike Tirico. So a lot of probably the ones you may like, but those are some of the... I guess naturally by working with Gary and listening to Chick Hearn and listening to Vin Scully, I don't know that I'm taking from them, but it's hard not to have heard them and used some of their cadence or descriptions. But you try to do your own thing, but it can be tricky. It definitely can be tricky. So again, Big John, thank you so much. That was a great email, and glad I had a chance to read it and share it with everybody else. Terry, 1985, from Twitter, if you remove the Warriors from the equation, who would you pick as the team to beat next year in the NBA after all the free agency moves have been done? This for hashtag LOK. Yeah, Locked On Kings, Terry, 1985. Well, your question's a good one, because if you remove the Warriors from the equation, that's the easy answer. I'd take the Warriors and give you the field and feel pretty good about my pick. Taking the Warriors out, We're still waiting on the Houston Rockets and a potential Carmelo Anthony move, so that might be something that could sway them as a potential team. I think it's the usual suspect, San Antonio, if we're taking the Warriors out of the equation. I think people are going to mention Boston. Two other teams I would keep your eye on, certainly Toronto. I mean, they've been really consistently good, but have fallen short in the playoffs. And I think Washington is really good, and they made a jump last year. And John Wall, I think, maybe ready to play at the MVP level. So I'll take a flyer. Take the Wizards, Washington Wizards. I like their coach, Scott Brooks. They didn't do a whole lot in free agency, kept Otto Porter, but I just think they may be progressing naturally as a group. And that wing trio of Porter, Beal, and Wall getting right towards their prime. So that's a team that could be definitely dangerous besides the Warriors. But the Warriors are clear-cut favorites. And I didn't even mention the Cavs. How about that? I have to mention the Cavs. I mean, you got LeBron, you got a good chance. So, yeah, the Cavaliers as well. Sammy says, "What?" This one was from a few weeks ago, and I didn't get it in, but I wanted to use it today since we have a stuffed mailbag. Sammy, thank you. What is the best basketball movie you have ever seen? Right in my wheelhouse. Love to talk about movies. Best, or my, I'm going to give you my favorites, because, and you can debate on what you think is the best. I've got five. Here's my starting five for basketball movies. First and foremost, I have got to go Hoop Dreams. Do you see that documentary? Years ago in the 80s, I believe it was. I was playing a lot of basketball then in high school, playing with my friends anytime I could get. If they weren't there, I played at the park, shot hoops by myself. But Hoop Dreams is a really great documentary of a couple of high school students and their path in Chicago. Really good, really good. That was back in the 80s, maybe. Yeah, I think it was late 80s. Hoosiers, of course. I mean, that's probably my favorite one, but I'll put that on my list. Excuse me, of my top five. So Hoosiers and Hoop Dreams. Blue Chips. It may not be as good as the other two, but I always liked Blue Chips. Good movie, a lot of good cameos in there. Shaq, early Shaq, Nick Nolte. Basically, you feel like it's about Bobby Knight in a sense, but basketball and corruption and recruiting and good highlights. So that one is fun. White Men Can't Jump. Just a different style of movie, comedy, but a good story of kind of hustling, trying to find your way. And then Semi-Pro. I mean, come on. That one's great. I love Semi-Pro. And we've had Henry Turner on this podcast before, but every time I ever talk about Semi-Pro, and Henry's played in so many different leagues, he's like, you don't know how accurate that is. Just all the different things you have to do to try to get fans in there. And that's, it's just Will Ferrell at his best. Clever, funny, silly, all of the above. So my movies would be Semi-Pro, Hoop Dreams, Hoosiers, White Men Can't Jump, and Blue Chips. You can let me know what yours are via Twitter again or back on the email, Sammy. So thank you for that. And the last one is Gerard. Yeah, Gerard. Of the newest members of the Sacramento Kings, who are you most excited to see play this season? I am so fired up to see Vince Carter. I can't stand it. What do you think about Vince, and who is your most exciting? Who is the player, excuse me, you're most excited to see? Well, I'm excited about Vince, maybe not as excited as you, especially where he is in his career, but I'm still a fan of what everybody has said about him, and he'll sneak in and get some great highlights along with all his knack of knocking down three-pointers. I'm really excited about De'Aaron Fox. I'm just going to go right to the rookie and the draft pick, and I saw him in summer league just for a game when I was out there, so quick. Great with the basketball, and I really do think he's going to be a special player. His ability to get into the paint is a skill in the league. Ty Lawson did that really well for the Kings, and either score or just cause havoc by having the paint collapse, kicking out to shooters, getting people out of their spots, creating that open floor spacing around you, and I think that's a skill that De'Aaron Fox has. I love his personality. He's fun, good spirit, talkative, social. I just like a lot of things that I've seen about De'Aaron Fox. He wanted to be here, so that's the guy I am most excited about seeing. So, Gerard, thank you so much for that, and thank you to all of you for your questions this week. A fun week of podcasts. We're back again next week. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Thank you again for being a part of all of this each day, every week. Again, iTunes, subscribe there. It's free. Leave us ratings and reviews if you could. Take 20 seconds to do that if you could. Also, Audioboom, Stitcher, Google Play. Tell a friend. Let them know we're out there. And also, I've said this before, but if any of you are interested in advertising on here, this is a great spot. You know there's a set audience of Kings fans, of people that love basketball that are here each and every day. Our audience is growing. So contact me there as well on email, jason.ross@cbsradio.com, if you'd like to be a part of growing with us on Locked On Kings. So let me know at jason.ross@cbsradio.com. All right, until next week, have a great weekend. Thanks so much for listening. We're back next week with more episodes of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.